Welcome in, new friend of the show, Frenzy Designs. What is Frenzy Designs? That's where they take your pictures and they bring them to life in a cool custom sports design for you. Whether you need a great way to recognize your seniors or just a really cool team banner for your next tournament, Frenzy Designs can help. No order is too small, no place is too far away. They've shipped to 43 states in Canada just last year alone. We're going to help them get to 50 here in 2020. If you want to check out their work, visit frenzy-designs.com. That's with a dash in the middle, frenzy-designs.com. The symbol, not the words, idiots. Listen, frenzy-designs.com. Or you can give them a call today, 888-6-FRENZY. That's 888-637-3699. Frenzy Designs, your place for custom sports banners and posters. I will say, they make an absolute incredible gift for anyone. Coaches, players, teammates, the whole deal. They can make a banner for your outfield. They can make it fit up on your wall in your room. Whatever it is, it does not matter. Frenzy Designs will take your picture and bring it to life. Even if Cole Kublik doesn't think it's a sport, Frenzy Designs can still help you out. Like I said, check them out, frenzy-designs.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at Frenzy Designs as well, and be sure to tell them Cassio sent you. What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you do? You're listening to another edition of Cassio's Cup. I got my boy with me. Joe Cooner is in the house. Some of you may know him from the Rick and Bubba days. Especially if you listened last week, you heard my buddy Big D, Don Juan DeMarco, talk about him. He's a fellow Gadsden boy as well. He also lives up here in Huntsville now. And he's got a brand new podcast just like everybody else in the world. What's up, Joe?
Hey. Well, it was quarantine time, and what else are you going to do? Then, I mean, I have the audio equipment at home, so I'll start a podcast.
So you do voiceover stuff.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a long time.
So you already had, like, a studio's part set up, so it was just a matter of thinking of content. So your podcast is 10-Minute Murder.
I already like true crime. I watch that kind of stuff, and I listen to those podcasts already. I already had the audio stuff, and the last step was just researching it and writing, and so I've got time.
Here's my guess. I don't know this for a fact. We haven't talked about you recording the podcast. I've listened to all of them, which is easy because it's 10 minutes long. You can get behind. You can,
which is the point, by the way.
Yeah.
I can't stand the ones that go on for 2.5 hours. Like, you're talking about a thing that you can tell in 10 minutes. Like, last year, around this same time, you and I were looking at houses. I said, I'm kind of thinking about doing this podcast. Like, I watch true crime stuff all the time, and, like, they all take way too long.
Yeah.
I can do it in, like, 10 minutes, I bet. I'll call it 10 minutes. And it took all this time until, like, April, May, that I started doing it.
So here's my guess. It takes you longer than 10 minutes to do the podcast.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. The research and the writing of it, it takes so much time. I do enough research for it that I could talk about it for 2 hours. But I try to condense it into 10 minutes.
So do you record a long story and then just start chopping stuff out, or what do you do?
No, I research it all like I'm going to talk about it for the entire day.
And then you just take out your own cliff notes?
I take out the good stuff, the stuff that's interesting, the stuff that I've never heard.
Well, there's
about
your problem.
Before.
You're taking out the good stuff. Leave that in next time.
Yeah. And I also, because once, you know, work started picking back up, what I do for a job, I'm like, I don't have enough time to research and write all this stuff. So I hired someone to help do research and write.
What?
And so, what? No, I mean,
you're hiring people for the podcast.
Well, he does a good job. He writes better than I write. And I guess he's got more time than I have. So,
well, no wonder the last couple have been better. You're not writing it.
I wrote the last couple.
My wife says your music gets her shaken right out of the gate.
Yeah,
her anxiety level goes up just on the theme song.
It took me 2 days to pick the music out, and when I decided it was the music I was going to use, Jones, my son, I said, "Hey, come downstairs and listen to this." And he came down. He's like, I've been hearing it for 2 hours upstairs. Like, and I said, well, come down and listen to it in these speakers. And he did. And he went, yeah. Yeah, that I think that works.
I told my wife, Big Booty Judy, that it was out, that she should check it out. And she, just her first text, I didn't even know she started listening to it. She goes, his song makes me anxious right out of the gate. So,
which is the point, I guess.
10 Minute Murder. You can check it out anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, then you can find 10 Minute Murder.
Where are you on social media?
10 Minute Murder.
You can search Twitter?
I mean, I'm personally on Twitter. But it's on Facebook. That's where I talk about the most. There's an Instagram, but I don't promote it. Like, there aren't many followers. I put stuff there.
Well, you know, you got to promote it to get followers.
10 Minute Murder on Instagram.
The number 10?
10. No, the number 10 Minute.
10
Minute.
Minute Murder.
Yeah.
On social media, Facebook is the jam, and Instagram. Go check it out. You can binge it real quick. You'll be super caught up. And it's for people on the go.
Yeah. Like, if you like true crime and you want to hear about these different stories that have happened in the past, like way past, like there's some of them I've done that are like way, way past, and some are super recent.
What if people listening have a murder in their hometown they want you to
tell me about it?
We need one for Gadsden, where we're from.
I'm talking to, I don't know if he wants me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. like yesterday or today, I talked to Carson Clark, who is a former local news anchor, reporter.
In Huntsville?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he used to do, when he was doing news, I think he works for the government now, something in Washington, D.C., where he goes back and forth. But he used to do, like, true crime stuff when he was allowed to.
Oh, nice.
And there are a couple of stories locally. Marshall County is one that we discussed recently, but he's going to come on, and I'm going to do, because it's 10 Minute Murder, and if I'm going to have a guest on, I don't want to cram it into 10 minutes. So I'm going to do like a deep dive.
Here we go.
Every once in a while.
Here we go. Now it's 2 hours.
Well, I promise it won't be 2 hours.
Well, yeah.
It might be a solid 45 though.
All right, so if you're listening, you got a murder that everybody knows about in your town, go find Joe on social media, 10 Minute Murder, and toss it at him, and maybe he can do an episode on it.
Make sure it's good. If it's lame, I'm not going to even.
What's your favorite one you did?
Ooh, I recorded one today.
Golden State was good.
It was. I did that. So the news on the Golden State killer, that came out, and someone that followed the podcast said, hey, did you hear about the Golden State Killer? And I was like binging on Netflix that day. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I Google it. I'm like, oh, snap. Yeah, there's some stuff happening, some stuff popping off. So I immediately went to my little studio area and started writing and threw that one together. And that was a big deal.
We got an axe murder going on from a vacation Bible school teacher.
that one, the Betty Gore was the name of the lady.
Yeah.
There's going to be a series with the lady from Mad Men, Elizabeth Moss.
Okay.
She's going to play the person, the killer, Candy Montgomery.
Name. So it's like a one season deal where they do the whole.
Yeah, it's going to be a series.
Nice.
That'll be a good one because it's like a Lifetime movie, but like not just for ladies.
One guy killed a person and then told his friends he wouldn't be in their fantasy football league.
That's one of those things where I was like, I read that, I'm like, this didn't happen. This someone made that up.
Which is why I texted you that when I was listening
like,
to it.
So I did more research and I'm like, all right, this happened. Like this guy texted people and said, hey, I'm not going to be in the fantasy football league this year. Because he killed his wife.
I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not a funny situation.
It's not funny, but it's funny.
The fact that he's texted that is...
The fact that people's brains work in that way, it blows
just giving y'all heads up.
There's the story I recorded today is the most disturbing one that I've done. It'll come out... Like, I don't know when your podcast comes out, like this episode, when this will come out, but...
Today is Tuesday, Joe.
Oh. My bad. Well, the one I'm talking about came out on Sunday.
When does yours drop? When does yours drop?
Just random times.
Okay, not good.
No, I mean.
Podcast 101. Give them a time.
I do it when you I need can to, do it.
You need to do like every Sunday or something.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
But the every Sunday one will be special ones.
Oh, see, you got all kind of plans.
Yeah. Well, I've got time. That's staying quarantined. So this, so if today's Tuesday, this past Sunday was one that, it's like the, it, like I wrote it and I'm like, I can't sleep. Like I just kept going through my,
mind. Gosh,
it's the guy is so creepy. His house had been robbed multiple times.
Just do the whole episode. It's 10 minutes.
Oh, we can do it. We can break it down right now. So, I mean, I stayed up all like hours researching this. And going through police video, interrogation video, and stuff like that. And then I couldn't sleep. But so this guy's house gets robbed. He's tired of his house getting robbed and decides, I'm going to do something about it. And on the surface, you think, well, good for him.
I was like, about to say, I'm feeling so far.
Yeah. Like, I have a weapon in my house, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to use it, but I will use it. But they had broke people like random people have broken into his home for the past 6 months before this incident happened. And it was on Thanksgiving 2012. He parked his truck down the street so it looked like he wasn't at home, and he walked back to his house.
Oh,
he's setting a trap.
Nice.
Right. So
I'm with him so far.
Yeah, so far I'm like, yeah, good. Get these people. So then he gets into his house and he goes into the basement where most of his stuff is. Like his stuff, he collects things, and it was getting stolen, like little by little, more and more was getting stolen. And so he like hides out down there. He's got granola bars and bottles of water and stuff. He's just hanging out waiting for someone. And they break in. Two people break in. One's a 17-year-old boy, the other's an 18-year-old girl, they're cousins. They break in. Not great people. They're breaking into someone's house, so they're not great people, but they don't deserve what happens.
Okay, should we give it away?
I can give it away.
Or should we? No, no, they gotta click.
There's way more than I can tell you. In, like, but so he, I'll tell you that he shoots them individually because they come down into the basement one by one, and
well, the second one shouldn't have got shot.
Well, the second one didn't know. She didn't know.
Well, she heard a gunshot.
She didn't. She couldn't hear it completely. It's in the basement. She couldn't hear it completely, and she was in another part of the house. So she was looking for him. So he shoots the guys down first. He shoots him twice. He falls to the bottom of the stairs. He goes over to him and shoots him in the head, kills him. Wraps him up in a tarp, goes back to his little hidey hole, and waits for her to come down. Doesn't call the police. Like, he knew they were breaking in before they were breaking in.
Right.
Didn't call the police. She comes down. He shoots her once. She falls to the bottom of the stairs. He goes over to shoot her again, and his gun jams. He has a pistol on his hip. He pulls that out and puts a few of them into her. And that already is, like, disturbing. And but
no,
he's nuts. He hit record on a recorder in his basement before this happened.
Oh, sick.
So there's audio of the whole thing.
Oh.
So if you listen to the podcast, you can hear. It's bad.
All right, 10 Minute Murder. Let's get this. We're going to do a little
Bean Boozled. I didn't know about this.
Now, do you want to spin the wheel and be forced to choose, or do you just want to reach in blindly and get one?
I'll reach in blind. I don't want to spin your.
No. Don't look. Don't look.
If it's vomit, I swear.
All right, which one did you pick? What does it look like?
God, it looks like vomit.
It's the rainbow color.
It looks like vomit.
Is that that one? Tutti Frutti, which is either Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks. Joe Cooner from 10 Minute Podcast. Might
what,
be stink.
What could I have gotten?
There's Stink Bug, canned dog food, which is gross.
Oh, thank God.
Rotten Egg's the worst. I mean, you're going to do another one if this is good.
What?
Yeah, go.
I'm just going to pretend like it's Stinky Socks.
What do you got?
It's not bad. Whatever.
Tutti Frutti.
Yeah. Tutti Frutti.
Okay.
We're good. You do one. You eat one.
All right.
You can't eat two of them.
What's that?
Oh, that's gross. What? That looks gross.
Is that that one?
Yeah, it's dead fish.
Dead fish.
Bro, you got dead fish.
Dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie.
Dead fish. Let's get that carp. Oh, bony carp.
What is it?
Carp.
You spit it on me.
It's not good. It's not good at all.
So that wasn't strawberries then. Could you taste the strawberry? Could you taste the strawberries?
No, no. It was fish anus. That had been sitting there for a minute. It was marinating.
Bro, I can get it out of here. I can smell it.
No.
I flicked it. I don't know.
It's under your... You got to do another one.
No, I don't.
Yeah. You got to do another one. You can do it now or at the end of the show.
Let's do it later. I'm going to ride this tutti frutti high for as long as I can. Are you all right?
Yeah. It was. It was carp anus. Carp anus. Okay, Bean Boozled is out of the way. Now,
why are we doing that, by the way?
I had a listener send that to me. I have a P.O. Box episode. Anybody wants to be a part of it, P.O. Box 19065, Huntsville, Alabama, 35804. And his name is Tim, and he lives in Kentucky, and he sent it down here. And so I try to play when people are in person.
I appreciate Boozled. You, Tim. I figured Mama Cass put that in your stocking at Christmas.
Did not get Christmas. Right. So let's talk about the Rick and Bubba days. Me and you both started as interns on the nationally syndicated Rick and Bubba show. It was not nationally syndicated when we both started. You started before me.
I did.
So it was D. Mm-hmm. And then was Aaron Boy first?
Okay, so there was Vanilla Chad and D.
At the same time?
I think Vanilla
Chad. Or close
Chad
to
was,
it?
Yeah, yeah, right at the same time.
Okay.
Vanilla Chad, D, Aaron Boy, and then me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was only one in between you and D. And then who? Jana? Who was right after you?
Might have been Jana. I don't remember.
Which, we're trying to think of this out loud. Her name was Swisher Sweet.
Might have been Joanna Dana.
Was she before Jana?
She may have been.
And then Swisher Sweet, which is Jana, who we're talking about, came along. Y'all ended up getting married.
We did.
For a while.
Yeah.
Which is who we were talking about. Dave threw you under the bus.
What?
Oh, on his, he mentioned the time that a stapler was chucked, and then you got one of the best chin locks I've ever seen.
Look, so when you mentioned we were married. This was mentioned in our divorce decree. I'm just kidding. So you have to know her to, like, you know her obviously, but you have to know her to know that she will do anything to make people around her laugh.
Correct.
No matter what it is or at whose expense.
Because if you don't laugh the first time, she's taking it to the next level.
Yeah, like, and it doesn't matter what that level is.
Right.
So you might as well laugh because it's going to get bad.
And so you were at your desk and me and Dee were in your office.
I was at Speedy's desk.
Okay.
Because unlike the rest of you, I had like real work to do during the day. Like Speedy would work on the morning show and he would do afternoons on the flagship station. And he was also the program director of the station. There were a lot of duties that he couldn't get to because he was the producer of the morning show and during the afternoons. And he did a lot. But I just picked up all the stuff that he couldn't do. Like editing logs and setting schedules and things like that. So that's what I was doing. I was in his office on his computer doing things, trying to get done with things.
I was about to say, I remembered as we were trying to get you to wrap up.
So we could all go
hang out.
And I was trying.
Now, everybody's listening that doesn't know, we were what, 20, 19?
Yeah.
I mean, I started my internship, I was 19 when I started.
Yeah,
I turned 19.
I would think I was 19. Maybe I was 19.
And so you're a little bit older than me, right? A couple years?
Just barely,
you're two. So we used to all hang out. This is what I wanted to bring up too. I meant to bring it up with Don Juan, but I forgot. We the radio station in Gadsden, and me, you, and if you heard the last podcast, Long Tall Lurch.
Yep.
We played StarCraft, the original StarCraft, on the computer game, and this was early on. We were having a LAN party when we didn't know what LAN parties were.
Yeah, this Lurch set it up because he's a nerd that knows this kind of stuff. But this was before like Wi-Fi and all that stuff. Like we were hooked up on the
Just the in-house network.
Yeah.
Of the radio station.
In different rooms.
We would go to different offices and pull up StarCraft, and then we would all, like nerds, just in-house. We weren't playing with anybody else, just us. And Don Juan was there, and he would always make fun of us.
We would play for hours. Don Juan was not playing, did not want to play, but wanted to hang out and make fun of
us. Right. Because it was Friday or Saturday night or Thursday, whatever. It was whatever night we wanted to be. And so he would come in and go, pew, pew, coon dog, my power's down.
there was a time when I thought, okay, he's like a liaison between Cassio and Lurch. He's going in between, like, relay. Because y'all are rushing me way too fast. I'm like, Don Juan is, like, infiltrating and, like I'm losing because he's playing the sides over there. I thought that for a while. I thought there was a conspiracy happening.
Well, I think you could run. I mean, you could run to the office real quick if you had time.
Yeah.
You could just set your dudes up for a second and go, hey, let's go get something. But you had to run back and not get caught. But we were cutting edge and didn't know it. Thankfully for Lurch's nerdom.
Yeah. No, thank goodness.
Yeah, he was the geek that set all that up. I'll tell you what else I think about from that radio station that we were ahead of time that I didn't realize how far it was.
Yeah.
Do you remember that little pager thing we had?
Oh, the Alpha pager. Yeah.
That was super early. We all had pagers, and you could send a message, basically a text message almost, from the home base, which was, I just think about it now, I'm like, we were way ahead of the game on that.
I thought I was hot stuff. And then when I was helping Speedy out with his stuff, I got a phone, a cell phone. I'm like, I got a pager and a cell phone? Now... Like it's not like my kid has a cell phone,
right? But that was doctor level back in our days.
Yeah. Like doctors. I would be singing class in college, and I'd have my cell phone out on my desk, like boom, got a leather case for it. Oh look, I just got a page. Let me see this. Yeah, it's no big
my
deal.
Best pager, non work pager. My best pager. I had a beeper that was see through green.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was gold chain clip. Huh. Couldn't tell me nothing. Here's my favorite part. Is you ever quit paying your bill and just still rock it? I didn't even have service, but you had that beep. Every now and then I'd pull it out and check it. Look.
Silent. It's not even a battery.
Yeah, that was dead.
Who's texting? It says low cell.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get out of here. This battery's dead. I think about that. And one of the funniest stories is, back when I was running high school football, you were doing nights on the queue.
Yeah.
And I was doing
this particular night, I was doing nothing.
Were you doing nothing? Oh, you were rollerblading.
I was rollerblading.
God, you were rollerblading.
Don Juan brought rollerblades to the radio for no reason. And I'd never been on rollerblades. And I was like, get them out.
So I was on the AM side of the radio. And I was running Westbrook football with Harry Butler.
Remember he called you Cassie?
He called me Cassie.
And you loved it.
I hated every second of it. And I would go, Harry was what, 80 at the time?
At least.
Legend.
Yeah.
Radio legend. Broadcast of Westbrook football forever. And this is the time, by the way, that Brody Krull, who ended up playing for Alabama and set passing records, and then got a taste with the Chiefs, I think.
With the Chiefs, yeah.
And then they also had, Brandon Greer he set like state, receiving all kind of records in Alabama, but so they were dominating and I had to run the board and Harry Butler was on location.
Right.
And he would always go, we're going to toss it back to Cassie. we break and y'all are dying laughing and cause y'all could see it irk just get all over me. And I go, Harry. It's Cassio. And he go, what? I go, Cassio Kid. You can go Cassio. You can go Cassio Kid. And whichever one you choose. And he goes, got Cassio. And I go, yeah. And he go, all right. Come back for me. All right, the third quarter. Want to appreciate Cassie for tossing it back to us. I'm like, God almighty. And this particular night, shout out to my buddy Brent Elliott.
Big Brent
there. And everybody was waiting on the football game to get over so we could hang out.
Yeah. This was a common thing. Whenever one of us was working,
yeah,
the rest of us were there. By the way, I don't know if like the legality of this, we were all getting paid, kind of. Like,
we were.
We were writing that on our timesheet. Well, like, I was rollerblading and getting paid.
One time, what was the Oregon sidetrack? Hang on. We're rollerblading. You're rollerblading.
Right.
D's hanging out, teaching you how to rollerblade.
Right.
Big Brent's sitting in the AM studio, WA at Wax, 570 in Gadsden. And I'm running the high school show, and you come skating in there.
Yep.
And my buddy Big Brent looks over, and he's sitting in a chair, and about eye level in the chair is literally a light switch just out of nowhere, just sitting in the wall. And he goes, "Hey, what's this switch for?" And you jokingly goes, "It controls the radio station." And so Brent is like, okay.
No, you said, I didn't say it. You said, if you flip that 95.7 jams comes on. That's what if you flip it 95.7 jams, come on. Like,
oh, to a different station.
Yeah, obviously a joke. Because Wax is a news talk station, yeah. Stuffy station. And he's not going to talk about anything other than stuffy stuff. And if you flip the switch, jams are coming on. 95.7 jams. So it was
which
clearly
is a station in Birmingham,
right? That we all listened to. So there was no way that was even possible.
No,
and he so should not have believed you.
We're sitting there, and a few minutes goes by. I get called Cassie a few more times. You're rollerblading all over the place.
Yeah,
you're like Tony Hawk going through the skateboard, going through the hallway, and I just see Brent reach over without saying anything. And it's like a dog when it sees fire for the first time where it's just hypnotized. Mm-hmm. It owned him, and he just reached over. And then he flipped, and he looked up at me right when he flipped it, and literally everything in the studio turned off. The board, the lights, the computer, everything. And I'm like, I look at him, and so he flips it back on and just looks at me like, whoop.
The whole station was controlled by a light switch that is unmarked.
We knew it.
Right.
We all there didn't know it.
I knew not to touch it because Dave Fitz told me not to touch it.
Right. We didn't know it meant it shut the entire radio tower down.
Yeah.
So I start yelling for you. I just will never forget. You come skating in there all, and I'm trying to be all serious.
I was skating fast, by the way.
In the dark.
Like hit my hip hitting doorknobs through the hole. Yeah. I just learned the rollerblades, and I was like Olympic skater fan. I saw the lights off, and I knew.
You're like, lights off's not a good thing.
No, it's never.
Because then we got to power up. My favorite is we're on the Cellcast, I think he had.
Yeah.
Was it the Cellcast back then?
It was, yeah.
And my favorite is once we flip everything up, and I push call, you had to call the Cellcast, and I called it and come back, and Harry Butler has not missed one play. He just didn't even know we were off, and he's like, just keeps going. I'm like,
which is the best case scenario? Because you don't want that.
No, he would have chewed me.
Right, and he would have been confused. And
right, but then we would have had to tell everybody because we didn't tell anybody that the radio station went off. Harry Butler, you just remind every time I see you and think of Harry Butler, I think of Cassie because you knew how much it got on me.
It got to the point where he would say Cassie, and you would just hang your head.
Well, I gave up about the fourth game of the season. It's like, it's Cassio. Yep, got it. I would drop, he would get the equipment from me. It's Cassio. Thank you, Cassio. And then as soon as we get on, throwing a Cassie back in the studio. Every time. Now, you weren't around the night that we got Apple Tobacco. I remember that. But you do remember when Lurch used to freak his black and mild.
All right, so we all kind of went through a phase where we thought that these flavored cigars, from the gas station, we need to test those out.
But I need everybody listening and watching to make sure they know we weren't cool enough to be actually doing any drugs or anything at them. We literally were smoking tobacco.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Right, that's like, what I mean. We were such tiny backwoods Alabama dudes that we're like, yeah, it's blueberry tobacco. Let's do it.
So when Lurch talked about freaking the black and mild, and if you know what that is, like you're like, these are the two whitest people. So apparently it's where you cut it and you take the tobacco out, and you're supposed to put marijuana or whatever.
Right. Mix it back in.
Yeah. And then roll it back up. So Lurch Like, let me tell you how the freak of black and mild. We didn't know we were talking. We didn't know what he was talking about. The freak of black. Why are you cutting it open? What are you doing? He dumps the tobacco out, puts it back in, like puts nothing in with it, and then rolls it back up. You're like, but it's just the same thing now, but it's looser. Like, this, what does this do for you? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, now it's just awfully packed in there.
It was packed
perfectly with a machine. Now it's
right,
awful.
Yeah. An expert packed it initially in Guatemala somewhere probably, and now you've loosely packed it and it's fallen out the end and catching the carpet on fire. Like, what is the point of this? So I didn't smoke that because I was like, what are you?
I didn't smoke that.
I didn't. Because number one, it smells, those things smell good, but when you smoke it, like your breath and, right, your mouth tastes.
It's still smoking a cigar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, D threw you out. He tossed your personal business out there with the stapler. Is there anything you want to toss out for D? Because it's obviously fair game now.
Okay, so at one point, we all did turn 21, and we were able to have alcoholic beverages legally.
legally.
So let me go back to Lurch real quick. The same night of the Black and Mild, the freak in the Black and Mild, do you remember when we were at Angie's house?
Yeah.
And he had freaked his Black and Mild. He drank so much. Like, he even lit some stuff on fire.
Now we should light the bus.
You might have to have
shout out LTL.
this by the way, this podcast sponsored by Lurch. So he drank so much, like more than we should have told him to stop.
What were we drinking?
I don't know. Like, well, you and I weren't drinking that much.
No, no. D and Lurch got, crazy.
Yeah. So you and I went onto the deck because it was just hot as balls inside. So we went on the deck just to talk, and it was loud in there. We could see through. We closed the screen door at Angie's. We could see the back of Lurch's head because he's like 6'12 or something. Yeah. He's tall. We could see the back of his head, and he's loud. And a couple times we looked in there like, God almighty.
Because he's usually not a loud dude.
Right. Yeah, he's quiet. And so at one point, he laughs and leans his head back and just volcano pukes straight up in the air.
It looked like a nuclear bomb mushroom cloud. It went up and then decided, oh, I'm supposed to come back down. And with that mushroom, it just came right back. Lava is a good call.
Yeah.
Volcano style.
So then he came out on the deck with us and then hung his head over the rail. For a while, I thought, he's passed out. Standing up, passed out.
Yeah, he was leaned over.
But then we, like, I don't know, it was maybe an hour later, we hear him giggling. We're like, Lurch, you all right? What are you laughing at? And he's like, Sam is eating my puke. And Sam, Sam the dog, was at the bottom of the deck. He was eating Lurch's puke.
The dog was eating.
So Angie had to go give Sam a bath.
Although we didn't care about
Lurch. We just laughed.
We got dog a bath immediately. We didn't care about Lurch. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Don Juan. All right, so on the podcast with Don Juan DeMarco, man, if you haven't watched that or listened to that, you need to, because you won't understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
All right, so the City Stages incident. yeah, so that the night that you guys stayed at the hotel room. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't stay because I was tired and I had to work the next day. And I'm like, I just need like a good night of sleep, and I'm not going to sleep if we all go hang out in a hotel room.
Right.
We're not sleeping and I need some sleep.
Correct.
So I went home, and the next day, like, you weren't so much, but it was more Lurch and Don Juan. Mostly Don Juan, like, looked horrible.
Grumpy.
Yeah. And I found out that you guys had basically destroyed a hotel room with vomit, like on the walls.
I was younger than them.
I just spit Corona.
I was younger than them, so I wasn't drinking. Spit Corona.
I did. So yeah, I guess you were the lone. So okay, but they threw up all over the place. So fast forward, like, I knew about this. I thought it was hilarious and whatever. They fast forward a couple weeks. We are in the parking lot of some go-kart in Gadsden, like go-kart place that was around for like a summer or whatever. We're going to ride go-karts. And We did. We rode go-karts and got finished. We're just standing out in the parking lot talking, and Don Juan pops his trunk to put something in it. Then he starts laughing, and I'm like, what are you laughing at? And he pulls out this bag. He had like a Winn-Dixie bag that was tied up. He's like, that's my clothes from City Stages. And I went, what?
And he went,
you know, City Stages, we stayed at that hotel and whatever. He's like, you weren't there, but. And I'm like, are those clothes covered in vomit? And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I didn't want my grandmother to see. So he.
How ripe were those?
And I remember the shorts because we all bought them. We all went to Dollar General and bought the same exact shorts at a live broadcast one day.
How cool were we?
Boy, we were hot with our
hot DG shorts.
So he threw up all over them. Took them to a laundromat that you go and put coins into, so he didn't have to take them home to wash them. So his grandmother didn't find them. And wore them. Like, he probably to this day still wears those same shorts. Because he doesn't throw anything away.
He's cheap.
He is.
He is cheap.
So, yeah. So he threw, and his shoes, by the way, his shoes too. His shoes were in that bag.
But you loved his shoes.
Man, he was upset. He puked on his shoes.
If anything got on his shoes, he was bad.
Yeah. Like, he would mess his whole day up.
We got to talk about another music festival.
Uh-oh.
He said, oh.
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't.
Riverfest, Gadsden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you might have meant Big Spring Jam, and I was trying to think, did I do anything?
No, I don't remember anything at Big Spring
Jam. Yeah, we almost died at Riverfest.
Yeah, but Riverfest in Gadsden, Alabama, where we're from, has a, it's called Riverfest, or used to, I don't know if they still have it, but, and they would, you know, they bring in your standard, like, over the hill, just somebody just past being popular.
But one year, I met Amy Grant, who I had a huge crush on when I was in high school, because her husband, Vince Gill, was playing. I'm like, I think that's Amy Grant back there. So anyway, I gave Amy Grant a hug, and she was super pregnant.
They had Lori Morgan, and they had Sammy Kershaw.
Yeah.
They had Kansas. And I don't remember who was there that year, but with the radio station we all worked at, the promotion was that we had an RV.
Right.
And it was parked at one end of the street all the way. Basically, the main drag was shut off, and one end was the stage, and then one end was another exit. But we parked the RV there. And so the RV was going to stay up all weekend. And then we gave away like 15-minute increments to listeners where they could come in.
So that you didn't die of a heat stroke.
Correct. It's 100 degrees August or July in Gadsden, and so Alabama heat. And so as a prize, it was come get a bottle of water and walk on an RV for 15 minutes. And people couldn't sign up fast enough.
Yeah.
They were like, where do I win the RV spot? Because I just needed to chill out and survive. And so we had the hit. And so the battle was, because this was two or three nights, the key was for us as all being 19, 20, 21 years old, was that we were going to stay in the RV overnight.
Yes.
And
for security purposes is the way we sold it.
Correct. It was really just so we could party in the RV.
Yeah. So no one needs to break in here.
Yeah. Because we had to leave it going. You had to leave the generator. We didn't want anything going on with it. Didn't want people messing with it during the festival. There's a lot of drunk people.
Right.
So, yeah, we sold them on, why don't you just let it stay there and nobody mess with it? And the higher-ups took it, bought it.
Yep.
So here's, I'm going to take up till I leave, and then you're going to have to take out part of it.
Okay.
So everybody, me, you, Lurch, Jana, and Don Juan are going to stay in this RV.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what time it was, 10, 11, 12, sometime, after the festival shuts down, and we're all hanging out in there. And now there's, we realize, oh, we got a jockey on where people are going to stay.
Because there's limited space.
Yeah. And I was actually going to get this couch, this pull-out couch part, and Lurch jumped on there and just stretched out. And I was so mad that he got the couch.
That would come back to haunt.
Then where were you? Do you remember?
Right across the little aisle on the opposite side of Lurch.
All right. And then Jana's somewhere in the front.
Yeah.
And D has a bed?
D took the bed, the big bed
in
the back.
In the back.
To himself. Yeah, all by himself.
And so he called seniority and said, hey, I got the bedroom.
He did do that.
So we were all sitting there, and I was going to have to sleep in the captain's chair of this RV.
You're going to have to sleep just like this.
Yeah. And I thought maybe I'll put my feet up in the windshield and maybe it'll be comfortable. And I started getting the splitting headache, and I was like, man, I must be dehydrated. I don't know what's going on. I wrestled with it for a little bit, and then I was like, guys, I'm out. I'm going home. I don't know why I'm fighting this. I live literally 10 minutes away. I could be in my own bed.
And we weren't really doing anything fun. We were just talking.
Yeah, because we're exhausted.
Yeah.
We've been working at a festival all day for hours and hours in the sun, and we had to wake up when the festival started. And so I decided, I'm out.
Yeah.
So you need to take it from here, because this is where the story escalates.
Okay, so not long after you left, that's when the fun bus pulls off. Because usually with you, like, that's where the fun happens. Like, it centers around you. So you leave.
Because I'm loud and keeping everybody awake.
Your volume's up there. So you leave, and we're like, oh, I guess we should go to sleep. It's kind of late. So we turn all the lights off. We lay down. I don't know at what time it was, but it was in the a.m. hours.
I think it was like 2 or 3, maybe.
Yeah. So I wake up, and my head is pounding, and I feel like I'm going to throw up. A lot of throw up talk in this podcast.
Yeah,
for some.
Yeah, there is.
So I feel like I'm going to throw up. So I stand up, and I start walking down the little skinny aisle of this RV. And I'm like stumbling. I'm like, oh, I'm off balance because it's an RV, and like you walk off balance. And I open the door to the outside, and I step out onto the ground, which is the highway.
Yeah, it's a 4 or 5 lane highway.
Right.
But it's shut down, of course, for the festival.
Right. And I'm like, and I'm still dizzy feeling and like stumbling around. I'm like, something's not right with me. Something's going on. I'm sick. And so I lean over the guardrail, and I throw up a few times.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, something's happening inside this RV. And because I didn't eat anything weird, I didn't drink anything weird. So I was like, we've got to get off this RV. There's something going on in this RV. I didn't know at the time what it was, but I just knew that there was something on here that was...
Something's bad.
Yeah. So I woke everyone up. Well, I didn't wake everyone up. I woke Lurch up, woke Jana up. Lurch didn't want to wake up. He was just more like, leave me alone kind of thing. Don Juan was already up. I guess he woke up when I got up, and he was stumbling down the little thing, and he was like, hey, I don't feel good. I'm going home. I'm like, yeah, I'm sick too. Something's going on. Something's happening in this RV. And so...
Do you remember what he did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So he leaves. He goes and gets in his car, and he leaves. So I get Jana off and sitting on a curb. And she doesn't feel well either. I'm trying to get Lurch off the RV.
He won't wake up.
He won't. No, he's super groggy and just won't. He won't get off the RV. So eventually he does. I don't remember what it took to get him off of the RV.
Just aggravated him enough.
I guess. Yeah. So he's sitting on the curb and like he's got his head in his hands and he's just throwing up in between his legs. Like it's splashing on him and he just doesn't care. So clearly he's not right.
Sam's not here.
Sam's nowhere to be found.
Dog's not here.
So during this time, Don Juan had gone. He was going home, but he was like, I need to get a drink.
Yeah.
So he went to go get like a fruit juice or something. He thought maybe it's like a
blood sugar
thing.
Because he had the headache, yeah.
So he goes and he gets a drink from the at a gas station, gets a drink, and he's walking to the checkout area and drops his car keys, and he bends over to pick him up. He just passes straight out. Passes out. Boom. They call the ambulance.
They thought he was drunk.
They thought he was...
He's staggering in.
Yeah.
Sick to his stomach. It's 3 a.m. or whatever, and now he's passed out on the floor.
Yes. So the checkout person calls an ambulance, and... They're asking him all kinds of questions. He's like, I've been on an RV and whatever. And they're like, where is this RV? It's at Riverfest. You can't miss it. It's got big Rick and Bubba banner on the side of it. So then that's when the ambulance comes pulling up. I'm like, we didn't call an ambulance. Why is there an ambulance here? But they get out, guns blazing. Like they've got gurney. They've got oxygen tanks and whatever. And someone had told me before that if you accept help from the ambulance people, they automatically will take you to... And I'm like, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to go. I'm just sick. So I went and take their oxygen.
You didn't want the bill or didn't want to go to the hospital?
Because I thought I was fine.
Yeah. You're just like, I got a headache and I feel sick.
Headache, I'm throwing up.
We're not in ambulance world.
Yeah, yeah. And I was already feeling better when I got fresh air. Lurch was not okay.
Lurch.
Lurch
didn't care what protocol was.
No, they put the oxygen mask on him and laid him back, and he went to the hospital. I went home.
They let you drive home.
Yeah. Well, I did. They didn't let me. I said
I'm out.
Yeah.
What is Jana? She just went with you.
I think
her love went her own way.
I think she slept on the couch at Speedy's.
Everybody dispersed.
Yes, yes. But she didn't.
Lurch went off in an ambulance. Everybody else went home.
Right. so I didn't, and I was living at home. I was in college, living at home. I didn't wake my parents up and tell them anything about it, obviously. But I go to bed. So super early that morning, there's a knock on my door, and it's the business manager, Danny, from the radio station. And someone else was there. Maybe it might have been Speedy. Anyway, they explained to my parents what was going on. So immediately, my parents livid that I didn't wake them up and say, "Hey, almost died," and I went to bed in here. but anyway, carbon monoxide poisoning because the Rick and Bubba banner had slipped because I think Roebuck taped it up with duct tape. I think he taped it up with duct tape and it fell over the exhaust.
So, yeah, so it just sagged in the middle. Yeah. It got loose and sagged in the middle. Well, what we didn't know is when it sagged, it fell kind of under the RV, which was right at the exhaust.
Yep.
So the exhaust was blowing out of the RV, hitting the banner, and coming back into the RV and the windows and the air conditioning.
Yeah.
And so everybody in the RV, which, by the way, thankfully listeners only came in for 15 minutes. But because
Lurch was asleep under the window that was open.
So that was the story. Is I fought for Lurch for that couch, and I thought he won, but he almost lost his life.
He was in the hospital for a couple of days.
Yeah, he had major carbon monoxide poisoning. It was coming right in where he was laying. So everybody had to go to the hospital. So my favorite is I show up. I'm like, I got to come back down there for when the festival starts back. Because I was supposed to be there anyway.
Yep.
So I get up, I go down there, I come walking up to the tent, and everybody's like, where have you been? And I'm like, I went home. What are you talking about? They're like, well, everybody almost died. And I'm like, nah, I left them. They were fine. Everybody's going to bed. And they're like, yeah, that's when everybody almost died. So then we all have to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are already there. And so they take all of our blood. And they're checking, and my favorite is I'm like, guys, I probably got carbon monoxide. I was already feeling it, guys. I was already feeling it. And
you just knew you were on the brink of death.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm just in the hospital bed, on an oxygen mask as we talk.
He's wearing a gown where his butt is out the back of it, and you're just in a room.
And they go, well, we've checked your paperwork. You have the same carbon monoxide levels as a smoker. He smoked cigarettes. I was like, well, I feel bad. You don't know. I feel bad.
Mine was, I don't remember what mine was, like the number level. Yeah. But I know that I was right on the edge of having to be admitted to the hospital. Yeah. And that was hours after.
I do remember there was a threshold. Yeah. Like, if y'all get over this, you got to stay and go in the deal. And you were on the edge. D was on the edge.
Yep.
I guess Jana was pretty close, but nobody had to stay except Lurch.
Right.
And so that was the year we all almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning at Riverfest.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a couple things. We got the countdown we got to do, which is 10 questions I ask everybody. And then you're going to be Moozle again.
How many did you eat?
I ate one.
Okay. I mean, that's how many I ate. So
I'll get another one.
What timeout? What is that? That's the blue one. What's the blue? Is that toothpaste or berry blue? Bro, that's either one of those is fine. Toothpaste or berry blue.
What you got? I think it was berry blue. It was dominant.
So out of the two best ones you got.
You saw reach and grab.
I don't want to vomit one. That's the. What's the white one? Like what?
We don't want to eat through the wheel. All right, here we go. Don't do white.
Was it soap?
Do peach or... Oh, white? Oh, white's either coconut or spoiled milk.
Oh, Jesus. I don't want spoiled milk. I don't drink regular milk.
Dead fish is what I did.
No, I'm out. I'm out on dead fish.
Do butter. Just pick one. I'll tell you what it is. What'd you get?
I don't know. Oh, that's vomit, bro. That's vomit.
Is that a beach barf? Beach barf. It's beach barf. Or do you want to try?
This is what I.
You want to try canned dog food?
No, this is what I drink.
Please don't get peach. I need you to be
vomit. It's okay. So it's vomit or what?
Peach.
Please.
I don't even like peach.
Look, I haven't taken a bite of it, but I can already taste like some sourness.
Is it?
Hold on.
Crack it open. When you crack it, that's when it releases. What'd you get? What'd you get? Did you get barf? Does it smell? I'm smelling it.
I don't know what the...
Oh, God! Oh, no, it's bad, dude. Dude! Oh, it's bad. Oh, it stinks. Oh, it's bad.
Nah, this is a stupid game.
All right, we got...
Thanks, Tim.
Timmy? All right, we got to go with your questions here.
All right.
All right, countdown, 10 to 1. 10, name something that's a perfect 10 in Joe Cooner's life.
Happiness.
What?
I'm pretty happy. Like
I don't know, but what makes you happy? What's a perfect 10? What is that right there? Don't change it, it's perfect. Could be food.
Thing?
Could be your life, something part of your life.
This is going to be sappy.
Oh, here we go.
My relationship with Jonesy.
Oh, your son.
I know. Okay, yes. I don't think it could be better. Oh. He's great. I don't know.
Golly.
You made me cry.
You did.
You try to make me cry.
Yeah. Go back to eating barf.
I'm a little teary-eyed.
Number nine. Nine is the German word for no.
Right.
So give me something that's nine in 2020. Something you've written off. Something that's no more.
All right. This is going to hurt some feelings, maybe, but these stupid...
Your son. That's why it's a perfect 10.
He just on my last nerve.
Perfect 10 now.
These reality shows that people want you to watch, like Tiger King was good.
Okay, I was about to say, that was great.
That was good. The one with the guy with the neck. What is that?
What are you talking about?
You know, the dating one? The dating, forget, 90 Day Fiancé or something like that.
There's 90 Day Fiancé. Is it a Netflix?
Ned.
Or?
Is his net, no, net, no neck Ned? Jones knows because he talks about
no
it.
No neck Ned?
Yeah, like he's, okay. They know what you're
doing. Is that the Netflix one?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's,
what
I
was
tried.
That? Love Blind something?
Maybe that's what it is. Love is Blind.
Yeah.
That's not it either. But that was terrible too.
My 500 Pound Life?
That's solid. But. No, like the guy, you see those memes with the no neck. I mean, the memes are funny, but I tried watching like 30 seconds of the show.
Oh, no neck Ned.
Trash. Don't.
Wait, now I'm on him. I got to Google no neck Ned. Is that his name for real, or are you making that up?
I don't know.
No neck Ed.
Ed. That's his name.
What is that? 90 Day Fiancé.
Tell me.
Memes with that guy.
Okay.
He cries.
Oh, he's a
He's a big crier.
Yeah. Like.
See, but the episode he's in. I've never.
Don't waste your time.
My big booty Judy loves 90 Day Fiance.
Don't let her hear this.
All right. Number eight. What do you want to be when you die? What do you want the last thing you ate to be?
Chicken fajita nachos.
From?
Los Trojas has got some pretty good ones.
So you just got a go-to Mexican restaurant.
I mean,
chicken fajita
they're
nachos.
Almost always, they're good usually just about anywhere unless they don't put enough cheese. but chicken fajita nachos. That's my jam.
Money's no object. You getting extra cheese or extra chicken or something?
I just go with the regular, original recipe. That's the best. And for dessert, they don't have it at Mexican restaurants. But
yeah, you can go anywhere.
Okay,
this is a mix and match all over the world.
Black forest cake.
Black forest cake.
Yeah.
What technically is a black forest cake?
It's like devil's food cake.
Okay.
And then between, it's got I'm that barf thing. Like the train has come off the tracks. In between, it's got, you know, the canned cherry syrupy kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's got
like
that.
Like a gel?
Yeah.
Where are we getting this cake from? From a restaurant
from
or
a legitimate German restaurant.
It's got to be from a German. That's their jam.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. It's a big thing. So that's for dessert.
No apps or anything?
No.
What are you washing it down with?
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea.
Yep.
Homemade? Something from wherever the restaurant is?
I like it to have Splenda instead of regular sugar.
Okay. Here we go.
I know.
Here we go. You could have had anything in the world. You went sweet tea with Splenda. Number seven, what'd you want to be when you were 7 years old? What'd you want to be when you grew up?
An orthopedic surgeon.
What?
Right. Yeah. Mm. Well, I like sports and I like medical things.
Okay.
You
saw they tied in together.
I did. And then I discovered in high school how much school they have to go to. 100% out on that much school. I mean, I like school fine, but not that much school. And so I decided that I wanted to work for ESPN after that.
Okay.
So that's why I went to school for mass communications and ended up working with Rick and Bubba instead.
There you go. Did who was in charge of communications then? At Gadsden State Community College.
I don't remember his name, but I can see his face.
I can too.
Tall guy.
He straight up told me I would get nowhere in radio working from Rick and Bubba.
But he told me I was going to be like a big deal.
Because you went to Rick and Bubba?
No, not for Rick and Bubba, like just in general. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He told me I wasn't going to learn anything for going to Rick and Bubba.
Oh. Well, I don't think he was thrilled that any of us went.
No.
Don Juan was in one of my classes, which is why I interned to begin with. He and I had a broadcast class together, and he's the reason I interned. But, I mean, before that, I listened to Rick and Bubba when I was in high school. I'm like, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
And then I didn't listen that much. And plus, I was like 16, 17. Like, it wasn't my kind of humor.
Oh, I was in.
Yeah, I knew you were. Like, you've been Rick and Bubba fan since you're like six.
Whatever. I called in when I was 15, for real.
Yeah. By the way, we need to get to this at some point. I know we're about to wrap up, but I knew who you were before you started. And then, like, the day that you showed up, I didn't like you.
What for?
I don't. I'm getting us off track. Okay.
There's a bunch of stuff we didn't cover.
Oh.
Let's wrap this, and then because I got a couple other things.
Okay.
You used to have a weenie dog that ate rocks. All right. Let's go.
I just told Jones about that last week. Hey, by the way.
Hang on. Finish the countdown, which is usually how we end, but we got a couple stuff. All right. Six. How do you want to end up 6 feet under?
That's morbid. And the answer that I'm sure everyone gives, in my sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little bit. A lot of people go peacefully.
Yeah. Like, I just want to go to sleep and not wake up.
I want to be possibly on jet skis, and I've just ate mashed potatoes, and I just wreck, but I die instantly.
Bro, you will mess yourself.
No, I want instant death.
Yeah, and it'll instantly come.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm going to be dead. But I'm gonna have a huge smile because I'm on jet skis. It's impossible to ride a jet ski and not smile.
And your swim trunks will be full.
All right, that's fine. I'm dead. I don't care what y'all think of my pants. I'll take a poop in my pants on when I die. That's the way to go out. All right, five-finger discount. What's the last thing you stole?
It was Easter of
2020.
The year 2020.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Jones doesn't eat his Easter candy like he should. So I rob him of his Easter candy that he doesn't appreciate.
That's not exciting.
I know.
I need stole from a place.
I haven't stolen from
hotel.
Place. When I was a kid.
I get everybody on a hotel.
No, I don't.
You don't take soaps, shampoos,
that's not
pillow,
because they replace those
toilet
anyway.
Toilet paper.
I've taken those little mini
batteries
soaps.
From the remote.
I don't want to touch that remote, bro. When I was a kid in the supermarket, in the produce section, they used to have these big barrels of peanuts.
Okay.
Like loose peanuts, and you'd fill them. And like, I remember I would.
That was it?
Sometimes I would take a peanut.
Yeah, shoplifted since then?
No.
All right. That's a pretty good run. You have some weird tics, by the way. Food tics. Let's just call that.
I care about what I eat.
You don't like eggs?
No.
You'll eat them, but they freak you out.
I don't, yeah.
Huh?
I'm not just going to eat just a regular egg. Like, what kind of weirdo eats just like a regular egg?
Everybody. I have a buddy, Eric Rottencrotch.
Pardon me?
Eric Rottencrotch.
That's what I thought you said.
He eats like 9 eggs for breakfast.
His name is Rottencrotch.
He says about seven or eight of them are just egg whites. So he's just got one yolk.
Is he cool with people calling him Rotten Garage?
Well, yeah, his last name is one of those Rowdy Yakovich or something.
Yeah.
And nobody can say it, so we just call him Rotten Garage.
That's it.
What are you going to do? You don't pick your own nicknames.
No.
You're Coon Dog.
I didn't pick that.
You're Coon Dog. Rotten Crotch. Four, Mount Rushmore of Little Debbies. Top four Little Debbies.
All right. Number four, the Honey Bun.
You don't have to rank them, but if you want to rank them, you can.
These are going
to
be ranked.
Okay.
Honey Bun.
Number four.
That's a standard.
All right.
I can eat that at any time. number three, Oatmeal Cream Pie.
Okay.
Roll Tide. Nick Saban eats that for breakfast.
Every day.
Number two. That's tough. I'm going to have to go with Nutty Buddy.
Okay.
Nutty Buddy. And the number one, you would think I would know the name of it, but Hostess makes the same thing, and it's called a Ding Dong.
Yeah.
But it's Little Debbie makes it. It's called Cocoa something. No, it's like a Ding Dong, but it's called Cocoa.
Are you talking about the cupcakes with the white thing on the top?
Those are called cupcakes. They're like, it's a Ding Dong. How many times are you going to make me say Ding Dong? Look it up right now.
Is it like the Twinkie?
No. Yeah.
But it's the chocolate version?
Yeah. No, it's the circle. But it's not a cupcake.
Oh, I got you.
Hard chocolate. All not hard. But
wait, does Debbie make those?
Yeah. It's called Cocoa something. Trust me.
No way.
It's number one on my list. You think I don't know?
Because you don't know.
I usually get the Ding Dongs, though.
Chocolate cupcakes.
No.
You don't like the Swiss cake? I can't believe you left out Swiss cake roll.
I'm not a big fan.
Of the Swiss cake roll?
Yeah. They're all right. I'll eat them.
Boston cream roll?
They're fine, too.
Devil's cream?
No.
Devil's squares?
No. They're circle, bro.
They're circle, bro.
They're
That's it. I just went through the whole list.
They're on there.
Look, just went through the whole list.
I just passed it.
I went through the whole list, bro.
It looks like that, but it...
What, like that?
It looks like that, but that's not it.
Then it's this. Devil's squares.
It might be devil's squares. That's yeah, okay.
It's got the cream in the middle.
All right, I thought it was called Cocoa something, but...
That means you ain't even getting Little Debbie's. You're getting something else. The all Cocos. Right.
Well, whatever. The one.
All right, so you got devil squares.
Ding dong.
You could be the word. Ding dongs. I just wanted to see you say ding dongs.
I knew that.
Well, let's do this. Yeah. Ding dongs. I'm like, don't Google ding dongs. Just Google. You're talking about those, Hostess.
Those are off the hook. Yeah. Those.
So the devil squares is the closest thing they got.
Okay, but Little Debbie makes something that looks like that.
They don't. Are you talking about Ho-Ho's?
Maybe.
Ho-Ho's is like the Swiss cake roll.
No, I'm out on those.
Okay,
well.
Well, you pick devil squares. You're good. You're in devil square land.
All right. All right.
All right, number... Three albums on the deserted island. So I preface everybody with this, just to think it through. You're stuck on a deserted island, so these are the only three you can listen to.
Right.
So if you want to go, some people go a compilation greatest hits, so they know they're all bangers. Maybe you go a live album, so it sounds like humans are around you.
I wouldn't say
that's what I call music 12, if you want a variety. D picked TLC and So Def Bass All Star.
Of course, he picked TLC. Sure. By the way, have you noticed that like every TLC has a sleigh bell in it? It sounds like every TLC song sounds like a Christmas song.
That one have to go listen to.
You'll
it.
Never hear anything
a
other than
a song.
And every song will sound like a Christmas song. All right, the first one and the best one, John Mayer Continuum.
Oh God,
what?
I just remember then you're huge Sean Mayer guy.
He's solid. Number two would be stupid. Jock Jams Volume 2. Are y'all ready for this?
Just to what? Get me pumped up?
Yeah.
Get you in a fun mood?
Because John Mayer bring you down here.
I like to move it. And then Is that one?
I think it's that one.
I think Jock Jams 2 has a lot of bangers on it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to go early in the Jock Jams to get the good stuff. Because then it gets into the Spice Girls and stuff. You're like, that's not Jock Jams. And the third one.
I got to look up Jock Jams too.
Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison.
What?
Whole album's good. Not the whole album. Some of them are trash. But most of it's good.
Now, oh, here we go. Volume two. Here we go. Here's what's on volume two to make sure you got. Welcome to the Big Show by Dan Patrick. He's bringing him
to the Big Show.
No Limit by Two Unlimited. Everybody by Black Box. Don't know that one.
That isn't.
1, 2, 3, 4 Something New by Coolio.
Coolio, yeah.
Jam. We got a Love Thing, CC Peniston. Mm-hmm. This Is Your Night, Amber Adams. This Is How We Do It, Montel. Set It Off, Steve Standard. Macarena.
By the way, when you get finished this list, remind me, Montel, I got a Don Juan thing to say. Go ahead, sorry.
I Like to Move It, Move It. I knew Reel to Reel was on there. Diss and Dat. I forgot all about Diss and Dat. Get Down Tonight, KC and the Sunshine Band. Give It Up. Ski and Dobre. That one didn't end up being a good one. The Bomb by Kenny Dope Gonzalez. Boom, Boom, Boom.
Amazing.
What's Up by DJ Miko. Happy and You Know It. And Macho Man wrapping it up by the Village People.
So in further review, maybe Jock Jams 3 is the winner. So Montel Williams, Montel Williams.
Yeah.
Talk show.
He'll see some DVD oil and a copper bracelet and some life insurance.
So Speed Racer in the year 1998, probably, made Don Juan and I sing Montel Jordan, This Is How You Do It, at a Jack's restaurant on a live broadcast. Maybe one of the most embarrassing things I've done in my entire life.
Wait, so by the way, Jack's are their quiet places.
Yeah, and we had like a karaoke, because it was for Elton John tickets that he was giving away.
Oh, gosh.
And he needed people to come and sing Elton John songs, and not enough people were coming to do it. So he was like, we need some people up there just to sing. I'm like, I don't know any Elton John songs.
So y'all were supposed to break the ice, basically.
Yes. And the only song I knew all the words to, and the only song he knew all the words to, that we both knew all the words to, was that one. That we also had the music for. So we had to sing that.
Friday night.
On a hot mic.
Feel all right.
In a Jack's Family restaurant.
The party's here on the west side. All right. Yeah. So we got your three albums. Number two is if you could play a character on a TV series, who would it be? A Netflix series, TV show, past or present? You're going to take them out, that actor, and it's going to be you.
You would think, because it's my favorite TV show ever and because of the creepy podcast that I do, I would say Dexter.
Ooh.
That's my favorite show ever, by the way.
You could pull that off.
I think so. But I'm going to say Arrested Development, Michael Bluth.
Really?
Jason Bateman. Like, that character to me is hilarious. That's my second favorite
show. That's one of the best.
I watched it the other day, just because, and I've watched the whole series multiple times. I can't get enough of it.
You just run back to it?
Yeah.
And then one, if you're a wrestler, who would be your tag team partner?
The Ultimate Warrior. He was my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the Ultimate Warrior?
He was just him. No, he was everybody's. He was a lot of people's favorite. So
here's why I'd be a good tag team partner with the Ultimate Warrior. Do you see his little on-camera interviews and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Garbage. He never did good. I don't want to wrestle people. I don't want to touch the oiled up dudes and like get body slammed and slapped. If you slap me in the face, like, I can't pretend like that's, I'm not mad.
He's coming in hot.
Yeah.
You and him are total opposite.
Right.
He's 11. You're down here.
Right. So I would say, hey, Ultimate, Mr. Warrior, I'll handle these interviews. You just stand here and look menacing with your stringed up arms.
So you want to be his manager, basically.
I mean, if he's holding them, I'll jump off the top rope and give him the people's elbow or whatever it is.
All right, let's go back to one. Me and Dee mentioned that you had a car that was so rusty that we couldn't wash it because it would come off. Is that true or false?
False.
What was it?
It wasn't rust.
What was it?
There wasn't a speck of rust on that car.
What?
It was a
Toyota.
It was a fantastic Toyota Camry that my mom gave me.
How many miles? Got rid of it?
All of them. Like, it had every one of them. I don't know. I had a car when I was in high school, and I loved it. It was a 1988 Pontiac Grand Am, white, had some bass in it.
Like, couldn't tell you nothing.
Loved it. Didn't realize it was just old as mess at the time, but I loved it. I didn't pick it out. My parents did. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I had a wreck after a baseball game. And my parents were like, you want to get rid of this car? I'm like, yeah, get get rid of this car. I thought that would mean that I would get another car. Mm. I did, but it was the car that my mom drove into the ground already. And she got a new car. So I drove that Toyota Camry for the rest of high school.
And I mean, it was six figures, way into six figures when you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what came off on her hands?
It's paint. Because it was brown. It was a brown color.
It was doo-doo like copper, brown.
Coppery brown.
No, it was doo-doo. It was doo-doo.
So if there was any moisture in the air and you happen to lean up against the car, you were going to come.
Moisture.
You were going to come away. Like if it's humid, you come with some brown paint.
I don't think that's as much better as you think it is. Look at you. It came off in the car wash. It was paint when it was humid.
My mom took good care of it. The paint didn't hold up. So the funniest / most embarrassing thing about it was the day Speedy was talking about doing, we were taking different Rick and Bubba Funmobile and the Q van. We're going to take them to these different Christmas parades. And he was like, we were in like a meeting type situation. And he goes, hey, Coon, can you drive your car? And we're just going to wipe the Rick and Bubba logo into the side of it. And I was like, thanks.
That's number one.
Yeah. So it was funny, so I couldn't get upset.
Right.
So I'm like,
but you got torched in front of
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
Speaking of torch, was your weenie dog's teeth. Why did you have a weenie dog that ate rocks?
All right. So.
Because I distinctly remember going to your house and the weenie dog came barreling out of the front door, down the steps, and you were like, somebody get him.
Her.
Somebody get her. And I was like, why? And then I look over and it just literally picked up a rock and went.
So I lived in Germany for a while when I was growing up, and this dog came from Germany and was nuts.
It's all they fed dogs in Germany. Rocks.
Like it's her name was Brixie, and we didn't name her.
Well,
we didn't name her that.
Because it ain't Bricks.
It's a German name, and she knew German commands. Like she was already trained.
Sure. Nine.
And, yeah, she knew that stuff. Plots was sit.
Plots.
Yeah. So or stay or something like that. I don't remember. But we had the dog for a long time. And she used to chase tennis balls and stuff like that. But then she got around rocks. Like, this is kind of a ball. So then I thought it was funny. So I would throw rocks and she would chase it and bring it back and whatever. Until the point came where she was just like, I just want to chew on these rocks because this is a toy now.
Yeah.
And
she thought if I get out, I get to get a rock.
Yeah. I wore her teeth straight down. Like they were.
She had a toothless wiener.
Yeah.
How old did Brixie live? She was old.
Yeah, I moved down to the house by the time she died.
Okay.
not a single tooth, I'm sure.
I don't know if we could top a toothless wiener story. Unless you got something you want to throw anybody under the bus before we get out of here, are you good?
I think we're good. I think we're good. Like, clearly there are more things I could say.
Yeah.
But I don't like going to jail or having people tick.
Well, it's like I told Don Juan, we all need to get to the table and figure out what's legal to tell and what's not. I think there's some hidden stories out there.
So, seriously, I think that you need... Is this set up mobile?
Yeah.
We're going to Atlanta to go hang out with... We're going to get Lurch.
Okay. We got to find Lurch.
Lurch is in Birmingham. We'll just...
When's the last time you talked to Lurch?
I see him on Facebook all the time.
Oh.
It's mostly his wife tagging him and stuff, though. So,
please just go to his Facebook and say Sam's eating the puke and see if it's on.
By the way, when last show when you were talking to Don Juan about the Porsche, Lurch's Porsche.
Oh yeah, flicka flicka.
When he got that Porsche, he pulled up. I was programming a radio station in Gadsden. He pulled up with that thing, and he'd gotten a new one. And I was like, that car is bad. Like that's a hot car. And he's like, you want to drive it? I'm like, bro, no. Like that car costs more than I make in a year twice. Like, no, I'm not buying it. I'm not driving that car. He's like, no, it's not a big deal. Just drive it. And then so we get in the car and I'm like going like a normal speed down Megan Boulevard in Gadsden. And he's like, man, this is a Porsche. And we've got the top back and the music's up.
Yeah.
He's like, man, this is a Porsche. You've got to get on it. And I was like, I speed up. And he's like, no, man, you got to get on. And so I hit it one time. And I'm like, yeah, I pulled on
it. Was too much?
It's too much. Because the amount that I knew that the car cost was going through my 22-year-old head or whatever I was at the time.
You dropped the Porsche and it was too much.
It was because I knew if I were to hit something, like it would wreck me for a while.
You should have put on John Mayer and cruised to that top now.
He wouldn't let me cruise. He told me to let her eat, and I didn't want to
let her eat. Oh, so you should have stayed in it. You should have did that little. You should have fishtailed.
Megan Boulevard isn't conducive to the fishtail.
No, it's not. I'll go give you that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of straightaways. All right, Joe Cooner, 10-Minute Murder. Go check it out wherever you listen to this podcast. It's up there as well. You can binge the whole thing just like that.
Yep, that's the point of it.
Look, we could have got 11, 12 episodes of yours in this one.
Yeah.
That's how easy it is.
Well, I gave you a freebie.
That's how easy it is. You got to hear the end of it.
Yeah.
You got to hear the audio, the whole deal, the one you gave out earlier. 10-Minute Murder, find it on his hidden Instagram for some reason. He don't care about everybody listening on Twitter. Y'all go bleep off somewhere. But you can find him on Facebook, 10-Minute Murder.
Yep, that's right.
There you go. Thank you, Joe. Coondog in the house from the Rick and Bubba days. Appreciate y'all listening. We better stop before we get embarrassed.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.